Leviticus 20, 2 through 8. Again, you shall say to the children of Yasharel, whosoever he be of the children of Yasharel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Yasharel, that gives any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed unto Moloch, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. That's where it starts. The Most High's holy name. He cannot let other nations see that we are following after other nations or following after their gods, their ordinances and statutes, because we say that we are the children of Yasharel. Even if the strangers that are sojourning among us say that they are grafted in Yasharel, that means you now become an image. You now become a representation of Yahuwah's name. So if you choose to be under Yahuwah and say that you are of Yahuwah, that carries a lot of responsibility. He can't allow foreign nations, heathens, reprobates to look at your actions, your words, your deeds, and say, well, Yahuwah must allow homosexuality. He must allow blood sacrificing. He must allow foolishness. It all starts with his name. He chose to put his name upon us. No other nation can say this. And if people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he gives of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. This is why I said in the last episode, we are preparing to be a bride. We are preparing for a marriage. We are preparing to go into the bridal chamber. Some of you do not put up with cheating in your relationships. Some of you do not put up with disrespect in your relationships. So what makes you think the man who created all of this is going to be satisfied with the disrespect and whoring that we've done, leading ourselves astray from him, and then think we are going to be welcomed back into the heavenly places? People who are in religions think they all they have to do is know Jesus Christ and they're good. And they've been whores spiritually. They have been whores bouncing between the Bible and this system. Bouncing between Easter, which is not even mentioned in scripture, and all the other pagan holidays and pagan rituals that they do in this country. So not only is the man who gives his seed to Moloch is in trouble, but the man who sees it and don't say nothing, he is also getting cut off, because then you look like you're lenient to sin. You're lenient to foolishness. So this whole thing is, oh, don't judge. You better be prepared to judge yourself if you judge others. People love to bounce those scriptures that Paul said about not judging each other and Yahusha saying not judging. People love to bounce those scriptures back and forth, but when it came to old school Yasharel, we judged amongst each other. The Most High could not tolerate sin, even if it's one person or one person being passive about sin. Because why? It becomes a cancer. It's almost the same thing with Satan. He can't allow the truth to be always spread online. He can't be the prince of power of the air, which is Wi-Fi. He can't be that prince that rules and allows the truth to be spread on his platforms. Now, he can't completely choke it out. Obviously, the Bible wouldn't be around if he had true power. But he tries to, you know, he tries to put the truth through chemo. He tries to put the truth through dialysis. So to him, truth is the cancer. And for us, sin is the cancer. And if we don't stamp it out, it continues to grow. The reason why the truth is growing now, because it's starting to pass around to people's ruachs. and the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. How many of you, before you woke up, went whoring after mediums or psychics, even if it's for fun? If you didn't repent from doing that, I think you should. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am Yahuwah Elohim, and ye shall guard my statutes and do them. I am Yahuwah Mikodishkem, which is Yahuwah sanctifies. Mikodishkem, Yahuwah sanctifies. So through his Ruach, we are sanctified. Through his Ruach, we are justified. Through his Ruach, we follow and do all of his ordinances and statutes and stop making excuses why we can't do them. Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. Women, submit yourselves unto your own men as unto Yahuwah. For the man is the head of the woman, even as Mashiach is the head of the called out assembly, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the called out assembly is subject unto Mashiach, so let the women be there to their own men in everything. Just like we as men have to be in subjection to Mashiach in everything and to Yahuwah in everything. We have to be in subjection. We may not need to be in subjection to you, but we need to be in subjection to two men. This is how you can truly pick a mate, ladies. This is how you truly pick a coverer. If a man acts like he's under his own power, stay away from him. If a man does not act like he has the Mashiach over him or Yahuwah over him, you are going to struggle in that relationship. Struggle. But if you let your flesh do the talking, if you let your flesh be your eyes, your flesh be your discernment, your flesh be your Ruach, then you will welcome unfamiliar spirits into your household because you don't know where that man's loyalty lies. And if it lies within himself, that means whatever he learned or picked up or Ruachs he picked up along the way in this world before he met you, that is what he's going to be in subjection to. If it's childhood trauma, if it's the thirst for money, if it's the thirst for more women, if it's porn, if it's vice, whatever he's subjected to, that is what's going to rule in your household. Men, love your women, even as Mashiach also loved the called out assembly and gave himself for it. Will this man give himself for you? Will this man give himself for you and your children? I mean, these are the conversations y'all need to have when y'all first start courting. The first date, even to the second or third date, these are the conversations you need to have to figure out where his mind is, figure out where his loyalties lie, what he's being entertained by. If y'all all about not wasting time or scared to date or scared to put it out there, it ain't but two or three questions, and that could off the jump tell you exactly what type of man this man is. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And I'll read that again. Men, love your women, even as Mashiach also loved the called out assembly and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious called out assembly, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Just like we learn offerings to offer without blemish. Our foods without blemish. Our bodies without blemish. Our ruach without blemish. And even for men, our responsibility, if we're leading the household, is making sure our children and our wives are following the ordinances and statutes so we can present our entire household without blemish. That's why I read that verse in the last episode about a man who disrupts his household is inheriting the wind. You getting nothing. Nothing if you disrupt your household. You are supposed to set it in order. Just like Mashiach sets us in order. And Yahuwah set us in order over top of Mashiach. So ought men to love their women as their own bodies. He that loves his woman loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. Even as Yahuwah the called out assembly. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his woman, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Mashiach and the called out assembly. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his woman even as himself, and the woman see that she reverences her man. Men have to give women something to reverence. The way you talk, the way you act, the way you walk, your works, your deeds, how you cherish and nourish your own flesh. Like when you get out of the shower, you put, after you wash the dirt off your body, you moisturize, don't you? You put lotion on it. And I think women are the biggest moisturizers than men. But in to be symbolic, it's the same thing. When you see your woman stumbling or a snare, you nourish and cherish it to set her on the proper path. That takes time. That takes patience. Just like the Mashiach and Yahuwah took time and patience with us. Leviticus 19:2-8. Speak unto all the assembly of the children of Yisrael, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, Yahuwah Elohim, am holy. That's it. You could put this in the scriptures and be like, this is it. Now seek understanding for what this meaning is of being holy, if Yahuwah is holy. Speak unto all the assembly of the children of Yisrael, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for Yahuwah Elohim am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and guard my Shabbats. I am Yahuwah Elohim. That means the Shabbats are passed down generation to generation to the mother and father for the children to be obedient. And I said this before in the last episode. This is why Yahusha said, be as little children to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because the only thing you know is the instruction of your parents when you're that age. That's all you know, is to be obedient for whatever they tell you to do. You don't talk back. You don't make up another doctrine about what they said. You don't get led astray from what they said. You don't debate what they said. What you know from your instructions as a young child came from your parents. You blindly accept what they told you because you believed that they knew exactly what they were talking about. This is the type of understanding that Yahusha and the and Yahuwah wanted us to understand. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and guard my Shabbats. I am Yahuwah Elohim, putting respect on the mother and the father. I know some of you have parents that are not worthy of respect. But let that be between them and Yahuwah. You still are a representation of the Most High Yahuwah to disrespectful parents. You are still that light. You are not to be absorbed and consumed by their disrespect. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten Elohim. I am Yahuwah Elohim. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto Yahuwah, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, and if aught remains until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. I remember somebody asked me, like, are we supposed to eat the ascending smoke offerings? When you give a goodwill offering, a free will offering, a peace offering, I think you offer it by cooking it, and then you eat it whenever you feel like it. obviously before the third day. When you come to the other ordinances and statutes, like the new moon offerings and the Shabbat offerings, that's the sending smoke offerings. It's never said to eat it, because obviously you can't cook on Shabbats. And then Shabbats are like new moons, feast days. You can't cook on new moons during that period. So your free will offering or peace offering can be eaten. Now, I don't know how you are going to cook it on. I mean, this is very, not even say barbaric, but it's very old school to cook and eat something when it's just been laying on wood. I mean, do you flip it over? Like, how do you know the temperature in which to cook it? I don't know. I may fool around with that. This is to see if no wood gets stuck in the meat so I can actually eat it, or flip it and turn it over and trying to gauge how long the meat should stay on the fire and all that. Maybe I'll work my way into that. But for right now, I've just been doing ascending smoke offerings and burnt offerings. But to go back to the whole, to go back to verse 3, it says, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and guard my Shabbats." If you still garden on the Friday evening to the Saturday evening, you're wrong. And you keep guarding it, regardless of what I say, then you are not being holy. You do not have the ruach of obedience, and you continually to do Friday evening and Saturday evening along with what Judaism and the Talmud followers do. And if it be eaten all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. So think to yourself how many times you guys have eaten Thanksgiving dinners up to the third and fourth day. Because you know those Thanksgiving leftovers get left over for a while. Like, how many of you was eating turkey past the third and fourth day? How many were eating mashed potatoes, yams, collard greens past the third and fourth day? And here we are thinking that we're giving honor and glory to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or God by giving out these heartfelt prayers, thanking him for all the food, thanking him for all our blessings on a day instituted by two nations that were massacred, or they massacred themselves. But obviously one ends up winning, which could be the seed of Esau, which in the scriptures that says that the Most High hates Esau and loves Yaakov. So the Edomites that came over here and massacred the Indians and lied to them, said, like, "Oh, we're going to make a peace treaty with you," and then make a whole bonfire out of their children, out of their women, out of their men, and then stole their land, and then try to make a little feast for them around this lie. We put God, glory, and Lord's blessings over top of this dinner, and then we eat the leftovers past the third and fourth day, becoming abominable. We think is glory. We think it's holy to him. This is how we understand the difference between holy and unholy and clean and unclean. And people who are in religions continually every year to be unclean and unholy. Like I said, there is a generation that is righteous and glorified in their own eyes. "Therefore, everyone that eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed thing of Yahuwah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people." Leviticus 21:18-24. "For whatsoever man he be that has a blemish, he shall not approach a blind man or a lame, or he that has a flat nose or anything superfluous." So if you have big ears, you can't approach. You can't approach the temple. You can't approach Yahuwah. Now, I'm saying you can't approach Yahuwah, but you can't go to, at that time, the temple or the tabernacle, which was really, really, really holy. And this is only for the Levites. This is not for everybody. This is only for the Levites. "For whatsoever man he be that has a blemish, he shall not approach." So not even the foods can approach if it has the blemish. Not even the offering can approach if it has the blemish. Now, not even the Levitical priest can approach that has a blemish. He can't even have a flat nose. He can't be a blind man. He can't be a lame. He can't be a man that has a broken foot or broken hand or crooked back or a dwarf or that has a blemish in his eye. or be scurvy or scabbed or has his stones broken. I don't know what stones broken is. No man that has a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to the offer to offer the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire. He has a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his Elohim. That's strict. That's how holy. That's how holy he is. Now, mind you, created man. Now, whatever man did with his bloodline and whatever man did with his actions caused his bloodline or his genetics or his traits to birth blemishes, dwarfism and all that. That's on man. The Most High made the creation as is. He made it perfect. It's only what man chose to do with his bloodline, either mingle with somebody he's not supposed to mingle it with, or just the luck of the draw, so be it. But the Most High, much like, you remember the movie 300, when they took the babies out, if the babies looked any deformed or had anything wrong with them, they would just cast them away. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they did in the movie. Obviously, where you think to get it from? If you were truly choosing for service to be a Levitical priest, you had to be without blemish. Just like your offering, the lamb, your ox, had to be without blemish. This is how Most High is teaching us to be holy and to see ourselves as an offering. That we must not have a blemish in our ruach and not have a blemish in our soul. I don't think he's looking at the rest of us and like, oh, this person is ugly, or this person got a big head, this person got a big forehead, they can't approach me. No, it's not like that. He shall eat the bread of his Elohim, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he has a blemish, that he profanes not my sanctuaries, for I, Yahuwah, do sanctify them. So that's only for Aaron's sons. And that goes for his generations probably forever. When they erect the assembly and the altar, and they bring out wherever the Ark of the Covenant is, it probably is going to be like that as well. Maybe, maybe not. Most High is the one in control. He can change whatever ordinance and statutes that he wants. But then you couldn't be with a blemish on your body to approach the Most High Yahuwah if you are a child of Aaron. Ephesians 2, 18 through 22. For through him we both have access by one ruach unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the Kodeshim and of the household of Elohim, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yahushua HaMashiach himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in Yahuwah, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of Yahuwah through the Ruach. But the foundation is the apostles and the prophets and Yahushua HaMashiach. What did the apostles do? They followed the ordinances, statutes, commandments. What did the prophets do? Follow the ordinances, statutes, commandments. What did Yahushua HaMashiach do? Follow the ordinances, statutes, commandments. So Christians telling you that the laws are done away with, or laws to are nailed to the cross, that house is going to fall. That house is built upon sand. The foundation is sand. The foundation is a swamp. The foundation is water. It cannot stand if it's not built upon ordinances, statutes, and commandments. The Most High is holy. If it's supposed to grow into a holy temple, it must be, everything must be holy. The foundation must be holy. The walls must be holy. The windows must be holy. The roof must be holy. It cannot have a leak or a crack. If Yahushua HaMashiach is the cornerstone, then it cannot be moved. It supports the entire structure. Jubilees 1:28-29. And he said to the angel of the presence, write for Moshe from the beginning of creation till my sanctuary has been built among them for all eternity. So even Moshe knew the beginning and the end in his day. John was the only one who knew of the revelation. Ezra and Baruch weren't the only ones that knew of end time revelation. They knew the details of it. But he told Moshe probably much more than he told Ezra, Baruch, and John, or Yochanan. And he said to the angel of the presence, write for Moshe from the beginning of creation till my sanctuary has been built among them for all eternity. Built among them. So many Christians think they're going up into the sky to live in the sky. Yahuwah is going to build his sanctuary amongst us. And Yahuwah will appear to the eyes of all, and all shall know that I am the Elohim of Yasharel, and the father of all the children of Yaakov, and king on Mount Zion for all eternity, and Zion and Yerushalayim shall be holy. He is the father of all the children of Yaakov, and the king on Mount Zion, not that foothill in Israel. The king of Mount Zion, an actual mountain, for all eternity. And Zion and Yerushalayim shall be holy. And the angel of the presence who went before the camp of Yisrael took the tables of the divisions of the years from the time of the creation of the Torah and of the testimony of the weeks of Jubilees, according to the individual years, according to all the number of the Jubilees, according to the individual years from the day of the new creation, when the heavens and the earth shall be renewed, and all their creation according to the powers of the heaven, and according to all the creation of the earth, until the sanctuary of Yahuwah shall be made in Yerushalayim, on Mount Zion, and all the luminaries be renewed for healing and for peace and for blessing for all the elect of Yasharel, the elect, the called out assembly, the remnant, the strangers or the Gentiles sojourning with the house of Yaakov, and that thus it may be from that day until all the days of the earth. The luminaries are going to be renewed for healing and for peace. The sun is for healing. The moon is for peace. I'm just guessing. Because I know the sun rejuvenates the land. And the moon gives it peace by cooling it off in the nighttime. By giving subtle light. You know how you have certain plants that don't do well in the sun, but they do well indoors. You understand? Peace. For a blessing. That's how important the sun and the moon is. And we are, as some of you are using only the sun and not the moon. Hebrews 10:36-39. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of Yahuwah, ye might receive the promise. You have to endure, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahuwah, not the will of this world, and not letting this world weigh itself down upon you. If you are doing the will of Yahuwah, everything else fades away. I know some of you who played in college stadiums before, whether it be football, basketball, what have you, and you block out the crowd, do you not? When you are giving your play or from a playbook or whatever, and you have to go out and perform, you don't look up in the stands and just wonder who's cheering for you, who's booing for you, who got what on, and who got their signs up, and who's rooting for what team. You're not even paying attention to that, are you? That's how living in this world should be. You should be used to that by now. Everything else around you is just white noise. That's it. You should be able to block it out and still perform your duty to Yahuwah. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. This concludes my three-part series on being pure and being holy. That's why I titled these last three episodes the way I titled them, because I wanted it to spell out Yah. You are holy. I should have said holy, you, holy are you, so it could read Yah, not in the reverse way, but I tried. I tried to be artistic and funny with it. There won't be a episode Thursday or Sunday. I'm taking a break, a much needed break, to do some things for my household. I am also working on a calendar to put up for the entire year, not just by month, but I'm trying to work on something for a website so I could put it up for the entire year so everybody can look at it for the entire year and plan, be able to plan whatever you want to plan, your schedules around new moons and Shabbats and feast days so you know where everything is. So I'm starting to work on that now. I don't know when it's going to be up. Hopefully I can get it before the first month of the Passover, or I can just, you know, get it done mid-month in the third month or something like that. I don't know, but I'm pushing to see where I can get the website up fast enough or not, and going through different channels and opportunities that I've gotten from relationships from people, and maybe they can help me put it up, whatever. So that's what I'm going to be working on. But at the end of the day, it's all about the work you do for Yahuwah to prove that you are worthy, prove that your work is without blemish, your offerings without blemish, your soul, your ruach, and your household is without blemish, because you have to be holy to be accepted. Holy. And the Most High has laid it out perfectly what we need to do and be to be holy. Another thing is, I'm so glad it's most of you are stopped worshiping and stopped posting about Juneteenth. It's just a clown show at this point. Barack Obama didn't do anything black his entire presidency. I'm talking about the 8 years he was in the White House. And then they wanted to unveil his library on Juneteenth. So he's out there greeting and talking to people. And then if you look up the covers, like Newsweek cover and the New York Mag cover of him being called the first gay president and then the first Jewish president, they have never called this man the first black president on a major, not that I've seen, on a major magazine cover by a major Jewish publication. All of a sudden, when he wants to pull from the black community or black America, he does things around what black Americans truly cherish and observe and call himself foundational black Americans, which I think is really retarded. There's no such thing as a foundational black of anything. You are here because of your history of being in curses, and you're here to be put in obedience and discipline, and people are going totally the other way around. Gone into foundational black Americans, then they call themselves African descendants of slaves. And then they went into Aboriginal Americans, where they don't believe that the transatlantic slave trade ever happened, that it wasn't that many people, and you can't find the boats today. But if they understood what went down in New Orleans, there was a slave ship still that's, I don't think it's still down there, but they found pieces of a slave ship that was on the ports of Louisiana, like out in the sea a little bit. All they had to do was look it up, but they don't look it up, because they want to stick with this idea that they are the real Native Americans. Now, mind you, it's still funny that the West Africans at that time, which are still Israelites, found a way to sail over to America. So basically, you basically found a way over here to fit the curses in Deuteronomy anyway. You just paid your own money and used your own energy to get you here, but you still ended up in the same spot. Now, some of them, there are Indians, black Indians, or there are a tribe of Indians that are black, and they got their ordinances and statutes, and they were copying off of the Native American Indians. So where would you get that from if you were from West Africa? Where did you get putting feathers in your head and hunting buffalo and teepees? Where did you get this from if you didn't get it from the Native American Indians? Like, you would have had your own thing. You would have took whatever you learned in West Africa, got on that boat and came over here. You wouldn't do what the Hamites did, because that's basically what their bloodline is tied from. It's tied from the Hamites and the children of Yafet. When the Most High said in Ezekiel, I'm going to disperse the children of Ham out of Mizraim and into the countries round about, that's where they sent the Hamites. That's where they sent Africans. So Negroes who found a way to sail ended up in the same predicament. They went to the destination of where the curses were going to still happen, where the 400 years of affliction still happened. And then they're talking about how they're going to get their land back. From who? The land is going to be destroyed. How are you going to get your land back? You don't have reservations. You're not even on the Dawes roll. You don't have any ties to casinos. You don't get any government funding. Black people who think they're Native Americans, it's a losing battle. It is. It's a losing battle. And then you come out here bragging about that you are a Choctaw Indian, knowing that the Choctaw Indians were one of the five civilized tribes that tried to help the European settlers implement chattel slavery. So if a slave broke off the chain gang or broke out of their plantation, the Choctaw will hunt them down and then keep them. If it's a woman, they kept them. If it's a man, they turned them back. They gave them back. If it's a woman, they kept them. And the Native American men fell in love with Negro women and kept them like bed wenches. And if they married and had children, their children wasn't even accepted amongst the Native American tribes. Man, they should look up how much the Choctaw or the other Native American tribes fought with the government to not let any descendant that was black and Indian get any kind of government assistance or any kind of funding or any kind of lands in their reservations. Just as today, that 40 acres and a mule didn't pan out either. Still going back to the curses of Deuteronomy. So just be glad the Most High has awakened you as a Negro, a Shemite, an Israelite, coming back to his wholeness, coming back to his glory, because this is truly a time where people are just fumbling around for an identity that doesn't have to do with rules, laws, statutes, and commandments. That's what they're really trying to find. And nobody was really searching for an identity until the Israelites started coming out with their identity. No one wanted to be a Native American or an Aboriginal American or a foundational Black American or an African descendant of American or Gullah Geechee until the Israelites started claiming who they were in the Bible. And because we were claiming laws, statutes, commandments, the Torah, which came with rules, which came with a different lifestyle change, no one wanted to touch it. So everybody started touching other things around it that had something to do with Black people. Oh, my grandma, my great-grandmother was Cherokee. My great-great-grandmother was Seminole. Yeah, whatever idol worshiping and hoodoo voodoo and African spirituality you want to get to, there's a reason why you got destroyed as a people. You want to go back to that. You going back to destruction. Back when your ancestors didn't get nothing for all of their religious practices. Okay. Just be glad that the Most High has awakened you up. The one thing I really tip my hats off to white folk, whether to be awakened or unawakened, is the fact that none of them are going back to being Vikings. None of them are going back to worshiping Zeus, Aphrodite, Athena. At the end of the day, it's Negroes more concerned or more binding themselves to oaths to those Greek sororities and fraternities that have Greek gods in them. Minerva, Apollo. I don't even see white folk coming out here talking about how they worship Apollo. None of them. I don't see none of them. They stick to one thing, and they're going to stick to that one thing forever. If they Christians, they're going to stick to being Christians. If they Catholics, they're going to stick to being Catholics. It's only us that's so oblivious to our past and history that we join every and anything to get a little bit of shine before we get some respect from other nations when other nations don't even respect us. That's what the Most High means about stop being whores. At least these other nations don't know how to be. There aren't really whores. They stick to one God, and that's the God they're going to stick to. We the only ones that got to stick to four or five different gods and hit every branch on the way down to find your whore. But that's a curse in itself. And then we bring children in the mix and wonder why our children are unruly. Wonder why our children are all over the place because of this. And then we try to pick men and pick women with these same ideologies and wonder why our households continually be getting tore up. And then we go online complaining, get on this women ain't shit, men ain't shit phase that we get into. And then we just repurposing and repackaging curses. That's all we're doing, repurposing, repackaging curses. And because we're getting a little following, because we get a little likes and follows and reposts and retweets and become social media celebrities off of it, we keep the pattern going and we keep it going within our own community. Man, just send the fire already. We used to say, just send the flood, just send the fire already. These people are not going to learn. They're not going to learn until the Most High really shows up. And he's going to show up in a way that they're going to think they're going to be accepted, or they could be accepted for the Most High to work with them. But for the most part, from what I read, the Most High is going to clean house. He is going to make this land holy. He is going to make his people holy. He is going to purge this entire world to make it holy. His footstool will be holy. When he put his foot down, he's making sure he's not going to put his foot down to come tabernacle with us in his sanctuary to be anything filthy amongst it or on top of it before he put his foot down. That's how you should see it. If earth is his footstool, he's going to make sure the first step that he puts his foot down to build his tabernacle or his sanctuary amongst us, that it be cleansed, it be cleaned off. Like he told Moshe, take his shoes off, for this is holy ground. Before he put his foot in this earth, it's going to be holy before he put his foot down.